sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm John.
Right? Doesn't everybody sound like that?
Italian?
Just the dub.
Get out of here. Oh, man.
At this point, I've seen so many dub movies in a row. That's what I assume Italians sound like.
Yeah, I think that's what they do sound like. You're right.
I go to Italy.
Mario, Luigi.
Toad. Wario.
Wario. Waluigi.
I guess we could have just called this like Limberto Bava retrospective. It's like we've seen
that's true.
Three? Because he didn't direct Stage Fright, right? So
no.
Or Deep Red, right?
So no, that was Argento.
That was Argento. So, and then the protege did Stage Fright.
Delirium.
Delirium.
And then Demons and Demons 2. Domani.
Interesting.
2.
Interesting. And it's funny because like his dad is like superiorly more talented. Yeah. So strange. Things that we've landed on Lumberto.
Mario, right?
Yeah. Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, guys, welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Demons 2.
Domani.
As always, John will give us a plot in 5 words to give your first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. John, maybe I should say this. Say this to you in Italian or dubbed. No, I don't know.
Why? What are you going to say?
Shit,
I haven't. Okay, hold on. Let me write this down. Oh, wait, I did write this down. Shit. Oh, let me write it down again.
Write it down again, please. Yeah. Make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. Oh, carry 2 T's in podcast.
All right. Wrote it down.
Hopefully done.
You guys could hear that. Done. Never going to worry about it again.
Yes. Throw the paper away now. You memorized it to memory. But yes, we're doing Lumberto Bava's Demon 2.
Demoni.
You know, he directed a movie in between Demons and Demons 2. You'll Die at Midnight.
Wow. That's because they are consecutive. Demons came out in 85 and Demons 2 came out in 86.
Maybe we should just become the Lumberto Bava official podcast. Just watch all his movies. Somehow we stumbled into our greatest idea yet.
It's weird to think of Lumberto Bava was born in 44.
In World War I or II. Or something.
Quick math, yeah.
It's one of them.
I didn't realize Mario died so young. He was only his like late 50s, maybe. Mm. But anyway.
A lot of cappuccinos.
So Mario did not get to see Demons or Demons 2.
Oh, that's sad.
Travesty, yeah.
That's sad.
Oh, well.
I'm looking at the movie he made in between, You'll Die at Midnight. Maybe we should talk off air about maybe reviewing one. Let's just keep going. Let's just watch all his movies. It's been a dry year. It's been a dry year.
We love Delirium so much, right? So
we did. It's so funny we started with possibly one of the worst movies I've ever seen and said, no, we're going to continue on. Yes. Okay. Well, Demon 2, John, one of your favorite series.
It is definitely one of my favorite series. And I have, along with 3 plot summaries, I have a tagline and an alt movie title.
Okay. Well, let's just jump right in. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
4, Domani 2. Coming in at number 3, Security Punk Hates Poser Mods.
Yep, that checks.
That was my favorite storyline. Coming in at number 2 for Domani 2, Shitty Neighbors Being Real Monsters.
Yeah, accurate.
And coming in at number 1 for Domani 2, Morrissey Fans Are Real Monsters.
I take slight offense to that, but I understand the reference.
But when do they start becoming demons? Shortly after listening to Panic.
That's true.
So I have an alt movie title for this.
Okay.
I think it would have been good if it was called The Battle of Sally Day.
Okay. Why is that?
Which is kind of the main first demon is they kind of all centers around this one young lady who's throwing a birthday party at an expensive high rise place in undisclosed Germany location.
Oh, are we back in Germany?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, apparently, fuck.
Yeah. And I thought a good tagline would have been, it's her party and she'll if she wants to.
Riveting.
That's it. That's the review.
Very good stuff. Yeah.
Come in next week.
It's a good title. You're going to be the title guy for
The Battle of Sally Day.
Yeah. Demons 2, John. What are your first thoughts on this?
So this is probably the third time I've seen this movie all the way through. I remember not particularly liking it. Something about it didn't have the same feeling I got watching Demons. But this time around, I really, really enjoyed it. I feel like I just wasn't giving it the, I just accidentally killed a bug in my hand. 1 second, please. Sorry. This is how the sausage is made. Give me 1 second.
Okay. I'll take over. I think this movie is...
I'm like a cat. There was something buzzing like just in my peripheral and I squished it in my hand by accident. I think I thoroughly enjoyed this movie a lot more this time around. I think I really like both these movies almost equally, almost.
Okay. What resonated about it this time that in past viewings didn't, that maybe you didn't catch? Or
I think I didn't appreciate... For one, now I really enjoyed the score. Two, I don't know what it was about. I didn't like the different storylines. I was getting kind of annoyed. We kept going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a little bit confusing sometimes when the movie within the movie is now more featured than it was in the first movie. Like in the first movie, they presented it like you're watching the movie in the movie. And this one, it's like you're a part of that movie.
How so? Like, what do you mean? Like,
in Demons, whenever it went to the movie within the movie that, you know, kind of released the demons.
Yeah.
You felt like you were in the movie watching the movie. I don't know if it was the way it was like filmed or what. This one, I feel like the movie within the movie, they shot it like they were shooting scenes, not just. I don't know. I think it was the way it was presented.
Okay, I get what you mean. Like, and I know, I think I get what you mean. Like, it's more, but like, it was more of a movie instead of a movie within a movie. Because we're very.
I felt like this was the movie. Yeah. Like, you're part of it.
Because Demons feels like it's very much, the first one feels like it's they're watching a movie. Not that there was anything like I don't know that stood out about it, but they were very adamant about showing like, oh, this is the movie. They pull out, cut to the characters watching the movie. So it was like you're very much caught on to the. It established that they're watching. This one was like less obvious because it's just a TV movie that everybody in this like high rise is watching. But there were certain scenes and shots that felt like very much in shot in. The vein of this movie. I don't know if that tracks well.
You know, I feel like it color matched and the lighting matched the rest of the movie.
Right, exactly.
And I guess in Demons, it's like, you know, it takes place in a movie theater, so it's not going to match.
And we kind of already know all our characters before they walk in the movie. And so when we're watching the movie within the movie, it's like we know these are movie characters. So I think that line was a little harder to distinguish. Because honestly, In my opinion, I thought this movie was... There's stuff to like about it. I feel like if you like the first one, you're going to like the second one. But there's diminishing returns on the second end. Like, the plot's not nearly... The cohesive story of... The very, very simple story of, like... They're in Demons where it's just like, you know... You're in a movie theater. You go to a private screening. You know, demons pop out or whatever. They're showing the movie. This one was, like, a little harder to, like... wrap around in the sense that like how the demons come back are a little fantastical or like doesn't really make logical sense, you know,
like it popped through the screen.
Yeah.
That made
less sense because it was
which
not
also
like,
the only person that sees that is Sally Day, who is our first demon, and she's the one having the birthday party, which is funny, like right. All these people go to her birthday party and they don't know who she is. I thought that was really funny.
That's really funny too, yeah.
So, I mean, you could also chalk it up to like maybe she was just seeing that and she became a demon. Maybe it didn't actually happen because you never go back into that room.
Yeah. Well, see, there's go ahead.
I was going to say, and then like there's like the, I don't know, like at some point the demons start oozing whatever junk and it starts to go through the building and that also is starting to churn people.
Right, yeah. Very much like the Cronenberg movie. what is it? Shivers? Was it Shivers? The High Rise?
Yes, yes, yeah. I think it was Shivers, yeah.
But here, like, I don't like rewriting movies, but hear this plot. I think I figured out how to make this make sense. Since it's Sally's birthday, right? Maybe she gets a present and there's a mask in it. And she's like, who the hell sent me this? And then, like, you have basically.
Let me put it on.
It's like, stupid. Like, yeah. You know? And then you could cut to, like, maybe that guy, the android guy that we had with the weird silver hat is just a different
guy. What's his name? Director of Stage Fright, I think, right? Yeah.
Oh, he was the cameo. He was the cop cameo, wasn't he?
Because he was also the director, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Or, like, the director of the movie, not the director in the movie. Director of the movie.
Yeah. Director of the movie. Hold on, my cat's being weird. Give me a second.
We got issues here, folks.
Sorry, a lot of interruptions. But what do you think of that? That would have easily solved one of the most, in my opinion, one of the hardest things to kind of wrap your head around. The fact that, like, the introduction of the demons is so, like, left field in terms of how they're introduced.
Yeah. But I guess to be fair, in demons, we're just like chalking it up to like, oh, it was a cursed mask or something. But
yeah,
the movie had a lot to do with why they changed also, I think.
Yes, yes. I get what you mean. Yeah. So how did this movie get aired? Is this like one of those like Season of the Witch, Halloween 3 things where if you see it,
that's
the demons come out?
I think it's one of those things like if you want to spend the time to try to figure it out, I think at the very end of the movie, they end up in a broadcasting station, which seems to be potentially what's going to release this curse into the world or whatever.
In this movie? Or
yeah, at the end where they're at the broadcasting station.
Well, we have an unlimited time, so let's just talk about it's about
I mean, that's what I chalked it up to. Like, this thing was trying to infiltrate. So I think what we have not talked about yet is the movie within the movie seems to be the aftermath of what happened in the first movie, not the movie within the movie, the first movie, the movie within the movie in this movie seems to be what the world is like after the end of Demons.
Yes.
And the world is like completely, you know, parts of the world are sectioned off because they're trying to, you know, contain the demons.
Right.
And a group of scientists that have no survival instincts, because that's seems to be the main selling point of these scientists, is that they are curious but not adventurous, go and try to find demons to take pictures. Are they scientists or are they just like dumb kids?
This movie?
I don't really remember now.
Mostly dumb kids. People that just lived in the building or were visiting it.
No, I mean in the movie. The movie within the movie.
I don't know.
To be honest. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But I think there were, and my guess would be there were just kids. They were just more just civilians. Yeah. Less
looking for a thrill to find the demons.
I think, let me just run through quickly what I think works about this movie. I think there is like really cool, like gory practical effects in this. Like a lot of the transformations were like, I thought really were like over the top and rubbery, and like there's really nice practical creature effects for this movie.
Yeah.
I would say the soundtrack has good vibes to it too. I really enjoyed the soundtrack as well. It didn't quite hit as hard as I think the first one did for me personally, but I think it does work. I think there is something there appealing about it.
So real quick to piggyback off of that, you know how I mentioned there potentially they had released Demons 2 in some other country as the first movie and then Demons 1 as a second one?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wonder if that would have been like way cooler. Hmm. If you had been like, man, this Demons movie is really rad. And then you watch Demons 1 second thinking it's a sequel going like, man, this is fucking cool. But of course, the movie within the movie wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, the movie within the movie wouldn't make any sense. For me personally, I think that there was a lot of like kind of jumps between horror and then like unintentional funny moments in it. Personally, yeah. I liked it. I like stuff like that. So that I think worked for me.
Let me guess what else worked for you. Demon dog.
Demon dog, yes.
And demon child that spawns even smaller demon child.
Yeah, as far as practical effects, yes. These were highlights. Yeah. Very much highlights for me. Honestly, the
flying demon is very goofy. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at least they're trying to... I had no real general feeling towards it, but at least they're trying to change it up a little bit. Like, these weren't the same
I thought it was cool.
Demons it's just... that we saw in the first one, you know?
Yeah.
I can respect it on that level. Yeah, because
did
I
you
mean,
like the heavy-handed John Carpenter's The Fog references?
No, I didn't catch any of them. Like,
oh, it's just whenever they're walking around, they kind of do it in the first one too. For that one scene, the eyes, the
Yes, the eyes. Yeah. But this one played out much longer. Clearly, it was something that they wanted to expand upon. That was probably a great moment in the first movie, which it was,
and maybe to a fault, just because it, the way it was filmed, right? Because you can see the huge like eye cover thingies.
What doesn't work for me? I didn't really like the change of setting. I didn't really care for this setting. It being set in the apartment complex, like a fancy apartment complex. For me personally, I feel like I've seen a lot of movies like this. So once I saw this situation kind of introduced, it didn't really feel unique or original. It kind of felt like, oh, okay, well, I've seen things like this. And it pretty much, in my opinion, played out very similarly to other movies like it. Thin story. Thin, you know, the story is like, is what it is. But I mean, that's what to expect from these movies. And even though I feel like the scale's much bigger and there's a lot more going on in this movie, in terms of like, because like you had mentioned, there's a lot of different stories and stuff. I kind of felt like the repetitive structure worked less on me this time. Like, it's pretty much plays out more or less structurally as a story the same way.
Same way. Yeah.
With again, diminishing returns.
Except now our guy that ends up being our hero is not a goofy guy in the theater. He's a married guy that has his clothes torn somehow.
And
that's my favorite part. He's like the sexy lady that gets his clothes torn.
Like, one thing I thought was so... What I mean by repetitive structure is like there's literally another group of friends in a car outside of what's happening in this apartment complex that are like a totally separate, just like the first movie. Instead, in this movie, it was more just like friends or like...
Yeah, it had nothing to do with what was going on inside. I thought that was... It was kind of funny, though. It was like...
Yeah, like...
Nah, I've never been in a car accident. I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, exactly. Which... Again, like that same thing happens in the first movie with whatever the punks or whatever, they end up spilling their coke and then they crash in front of the movie theater and become a part of it and stuff. So just very, very
repetitive.
And
this one, they don't. Yeah. This one is what, like, I think it's just trying to show you in an interesting way the people that are associated with the people inside the building. Because I don't know.
Yeah, and I like that I don't know what it is, but I really enjoy seeing the same actors in movies, even though they're like... Like, we just saw two of these actors and demons, and they're in this movie as well, but they're in completely different parts. Totally separate, but it was just, sometimes it's just nice to see a familiar face in these movies. And that's been a continuing theme as we've watched all these Giallo movies.
Because I was going to say, yeah, the Bobby Rhodes is his name, the guy that plays Hank, the fitness instructor, plays the pimp guy in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lino Salami. I was gonna call him Salami. That would have been fucking offensive. Anyway, he plays security guard in this. He plays the punk guy, the main punk guy in the first movie.
Yeah, he's like, pick up all the coke. Yeah.
And
like,
did you catch? I mean, there's no way to catch this without reading everything, I think. So Sally Day plays our main first demon, and she kind of plays sort of like the main demon, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Running around. The character Liz in the first movie, remember? Her blind partner, husband, whatever, and cheated on him.
Oh, yeah.
The one where he's like, Liz, what's going on? That actress name was Sally Day. So I think this is just a little nod to her, that the bad guy is Sally Day in this.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting.
Think and then related? There's a bunch of other characters that just are there to turn into demons. They try to expand the scale of, like, I really enjoyed the whole... Okay, one of the main storylines is the husband of some lady that's pregnant is trying to go and tell, I think, the party happening to please keep it down because she was tired or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets in an elevator with one of the other neighbors, and the elevator gets stuck. And they spend a majority of the runtime in there. And they try to crack open the elevator, and then they see a bunch of people running away. They're like, why aren't they stopping to help us? And then they see the zombies running by, and it's almost like the zombies keep running back and forth in front of the elevator.
Yeah, funny.
I thought that was pretty funny. It's very Scooby-Doo. I'm wondering if that was like intentional, but lots of zombies.
kids zombies, dog zombies. Yeah, we had a lot more I guess because of the setting, you think like, oh, we got to raise the stakes of it, or raise the death count in some ways, right?
You got acrobatic, I mean, I keep calling them zombies, acrobatic demons. There's a part where they set something on fire so the demons can't get through, and they all like, like gymnastic style somersaults over the fire. I was like, hell yeah. We get a baby, not a baby, like a young Asia Argento as like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Which we can only imagine dies off screen. I don't know if that's a spoiler. We have no idea what happens to her, but she's stuck in a parking garage and it's not looking good.
Yeah, she's still there as we speak. We have no idea.
She survived and now she's a part of the XXX undercover program.
Okay, cool. Did you want to get into spoilers?
Yeah, let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
They're demons!
There's two of them. No,
basically everybody dies except for two people. The husband and wife. The pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Pregnant wife.
Which, once I saw that, I was... Go ahead.
What?
I was more or less convinced that a fucking some gross creature is going to pop out of her stomach at some point.
Yeah. That was my... I had the same idea, too.
It's like the Chekhov gun, right? Like, he's just... You know some fucking disgusting thing is going to pop out.
But I'm glad it played out the way it did, because I think at this point, I would have just been like, it's expected, right? I feel like that was a very tropey thing to do, especially in the 80s.
Yes. Yeah. And strangely, when we meet her, she's looking... She's doing, like, exercises, but they're all, like, kind of sexual positions in the book. And I'm just like, Bava always is going to Bava, right? Like, he's always going to throw something in there.
And I like that. So the iconic poster for this movie is a very stylized 80s illustration of a cool woman with like big black sunglasses, but there's something in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard to tell what it is until you see the movie and you realize pregnant lady fights off. There's a little boy whose mom is stuck outside of the building and keeps trying to get a hold of the little boy, and he is running away from the demons, and he unfortunately gets turned because like there's like demon goop that keeps going through the building and it hits him.
Yeah.
And he goes and starts attacking this pregnant lady, and that's mostly her story, is she's fighting off this demon kid and finally kills the demon kid. But that's not the end of it, because demon kid spawns a flying demon kid from the stomach.
Yeah.
And this thing is like flying around trying to attack her, and she gets on one side of like a wall, and that poster's there, that's like the iconic like cover of Demons 2, and it's like the demon's hand going through the mouth. So I mean, that's cool. That's actually a really cool image.
Yeah The stuff with the kid I liked. All the turn.
I did like she's trying to defend herself, so she tries to clip the demon's fingernails off.
Yes, that's how I always.
And it does not work out.
Yeah.
That was great.
Real question. Is there a Demons 3?
No, I checked. There is a movie called Demoni 3, but it has nothing to do with these movies. It's just somebody took the name.
Okay, perfect. So we should talk about ending. Basically, like whether or not she had a demon baby.
So. Oh, yeah. So she didn't. It's a perfectly fine boy.
Yeah.
And they're able to stop it. Like it kind of interesting. The most probably wouldn't work, but the most rational thing the guy does, which is like, yeah, good, is Sally Day's demon character finally dies. But then on the TV screens in this broadcasting station, which they're like, it's recording us. It's like filming us. We don't know why. You start to see a previous clip, a very cool stylistic clip of her running through like a weird sort of void. Sally Day demon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like about to go through the screen, and he goes over with an axe and just or whatever and starts smashing all the televisions. And apparently he's like, why didn't he smash the cameras? And I was like, because that would be a very expensive bit to do.
Yeah. basically insinuating that like the curse is moving through the TV. It's trying to come out again.
I think,
to spread.
Yeah.
That idea could have been fleshed out a little more. That just all like techno demon running through technology could have been figured out a little bit more.
I think because I think the premise of this one was supposed to be more about how what would equate to today, like it's brain rot that they consider a television a media and whatever, that's what the real evil is.
Wow, that's I totally see where you're coming from. Okay,
I thought talk about it. I didn't think
that. I was like, damn, John, you've gone deep, bro.
I love these movies, but I'm not Cronenberging these movies.
I mean, that's
gonna go into a deep dive.
That's a really you know, that's a really good thought. That's a good way to angle these movies so you can get more thought or meaning out of it. But
I think that's how they got Morrissey to agree to let them use Panic also, as they wrote him a letter or something. And I kind of had to sugarcoat it because apparently Morrissey is not into like gory or horror movie stuff, but they cater to like his vegetarian needs. And you know, like this is about media taking over and being like crappy and evil. And you know, he's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Of course, Morrissey doesn't like horror movies. That would totally just fit in with him. But yeah, that actually does make sense. I don't know if that's what the directors were intended. Like, maybe that's something they came up with while, you know, doing lines of coke and drinking.
Well, I can see because Argento was one of the main writers for this, too. I can see him being like, I've never written a movie about media being evil.
Yeah, right.
That I'm aware of. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. And then they have the baby in Happily Ever After. That's kind
of
it.
Yeah, kind of, except like there is a garage full of demons.
Yes, still in the building.
Right?
Yes.
Because nobody escaped that, right?
So yeah, yeah. That's where I like all the gym people who are just like fucking sweaty and buff and pumping
God,
weights.
What's his name? I need to talk about the Bobby Rhodes character, Hank, the fitness instructor guy, who was the pimp in the first movie. Was like, what did he say? He's like trying to get this guy. He's like, here, you take this and I'll take this. And he grabs an axe and he gives a fire extinguisher to the other guy. He's like, and then they dub over the other guy's voice. He's like, how does this work? He's like, read the instructions. And he's like, where are the instructions? He's like, you're all muscle and no brain. God, get out of my way. It was like, it's really funny.
I like this version. Well, I would say this Hank character is a little more straightforward, more straight-laced, more hero.
Yeah.
Because
than the other guy, yeah.
Than the other pimp character, because he eventually becomes sort of like de facto leader, you know, once all the demons start running around the theater and stuff. But
which he kind of does in this movie too, right? Yeah, just a different respected version of it, yeah.
Yeah, because he's basically just whatever. He works there. He's the fitness guy there, Jim.
He's like, oh, the power went out, everybody leave, and there's two guys that are still working. I was like, do whatever you're gonna do.
Fucking just sweaty, just pumping weights.
Yeah, just more weights.
More weights, guys. Yeah. And I just like how easily the demons overtook them. I felt like there could have been more of a struggle there because those guys were jacked. That were that were staying over, you know, late at the gym.
Well, that's why their muscles were fatigued. They overdid it. They overtrained.
True. Yeah.
And they couldn't fight back.
Alrighty. Cool. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate the movie?
No, I think I'm good.
Alrighty, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you're doing.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give the movie 2 6 sexy spooky bones.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna do a 5. It's fine. It's a great, like, if you like the first one, definitely watch the second one.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no reason why you shouldn't. I think they're pretty much more or less on the same level. You know, it's not terribly different in terms of like taste. For me, it was just like this was a little less, but not that far off from where the first one was. I found both of them very entertaining overall. All right.
Germany.
Germany and Germany of all places. Dude, I have no idea. This is twice already. This movie's fooled me. I did not know this was Germany. Like
Germany.
Germany.
Yeah, when I checked, they're like, it's supposed to be undisclosed someplace in Hamburg. I'm like, okay.
Okay, sure. Germany. Yeah, all right. Alrighty. All right, guys, girls, I'm Binary Pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Good morning.